Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you didn't know where you're at, you're
nothing much, man.
we got a little lag, but it's all good. If you didn't know, you're watching the Mock Stars.
Oh, is
podcast.
My audio coming on a lag for you?
Only a little bit. Only a little.
Fuck.
It's all good.
All right.
Jesus. Don't even worry about it. This is the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Hit that thumbs up. Give us that sign. Let us know you're liking the stuff, because apparently 5,000 hours of watch time have accumulated since we started the show, and people are getting hooked. That's what YouTube tells me, right up here. Oh yeah, 517 subscribers. Thank you all for the support, and we're taking steps forward one at a time. 600 on the way. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by giving us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. And by giving us a 5-star review, it helps new listeners find the show. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Become an official Pepperhead. Support the show. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier. $10 a month. Get 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which is happening at the end of this show. Like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. You can support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier as well. That is $5 a month. You get 1 entry into each of the bi-weekly giveaways. We also have Reven Lift hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge with all of the WB entities that exist in the Space Jam 2 universe. It's quite a pleasure to be hanging out on the beach. There's a beach in the lounge. We just installed it. There's a nice breeze from our Dyson bladeless fan sitting in the corner. So it's really quite the ambiance. I've got a mister going as well. We're worried about the foundation a little bit in a couple years. You know, all the water installations you have to put in. You never know when the water damage is going to accumulate to a point where you have to, you know, start taking down walls, and then you start opening up a whole bunch of can of worms. You never really know what you're getting into when you're renovating a space. So the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, currently no problems. The beach is nice. Get a breeze from that Dyson bladeless fan. And enjoy some Dr. Pepper French toast with LeBron and his fake family. And get 3 entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways and a free hat every single month. We just got the proofs back from the Glarb hat, and they're looking good. They're looking real good. We should have those in pretty darn soon. So looking forward to that. We are getting a new round of tokens in as well. So if you'd like a set of tokens, make sure you reach out on the Discord server. We'll get some in your hands. All right. Big week.
Things for the Commander format in general, and one card in particular for CDH.
Yeah. Huge announcement. We talked about it last week. We speculated on it. We didn't quite know what was going to happen. And, we weren't 100% right on everything, but I feel like we did we got nothing right. Honestly, we got nothing right from that last episode. So this week's announcement happened on Tuesday. We are recording on Thursday, the day of the NFL draft. Everyone gets super stoked, super excited. Wonder who the Eagles are gonna take, but or the Saints. But that is for the evening. You guys will know by the time this episode launches. The ban announcement happened on Tuesday, April 22nd. A lot of CEDH players are calling it Liberation Day. There was this expectation that many of their concerns would be addressed in this banned and restricted announcement. But let's dive right into it. On the positives of this announcement, we have Gifts Ungiven, Unbanned, Sway of Stars, Braids, Cabal Minion, Coalition Victory, UWP Quirt, we know you're listening. We know you love that. Panoptic Mirror is also unbanned. So, all these cards back in the format. If you are unfamiliar with any of them, you might just be unfamiliar with them because they've been banned for a long, long, long time. Gifts Ungiven is the big one for us in CEDH. It is 3 in a blue. Search your library for up to 4 cards with different names and reveal them. Wow, perfect for the Commander format. Different names. Target opponent chooses 2 of them. Put the chosen cards into the graveyard and the rest into your hand. Then shuffle. So there's also another card that just like this, Intuition. Intuition piles are very common in CDH. But that's 3 mana and 3 cards. And there are basically piles that make it so that your opponent has no right choice for them. You get your combo.
You get your intuition pile plus redundancy, or you get whole new piles that you can win them.
Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing like some new Gifts Ungiven piles that are a little bit more resilient. While there like are intuition piles that are resilient and give you everything you need, like this could be an intuition pile plus a silence, you know, like Underworld Breach, Savine's Reclamation, and Brain Freeze. And then, yeah, give me the Savines or not, or Lion's Eye Diamond in that pile too. So it is a self-contained Underworld Breach combo on its own. If you haven't seen any of those cards in your hand or in the game yet, you can literally just use this. Boom. All 4 of the cards necessary to make that combo happen in your hand. So pretty rad. Pretty rad. I think at that point you give... Yeah. You give the opponent
plenty of easy peasy Thoracle piles.
Yeah.
Devoted Druid. There are a couple of reanimation spells. Devoted Druid, Savine's Wreck stuff, you know.
Yep.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, I was hearing someone was saying the Broodlord, so like hoarding Broodlord lines get a little bit easier with this with something like Dread Return. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I think the huge upside with this card is that you get whole new piles without adding deck. Really, it's just like you already have the pile in your deck. You just couldn't build it before. But now that you get 4 cards out of it, here's some cards you're already playing. You can add this card in and all of a sudden have a access to win. Given.
Yeah. Yep, like where intuition just didn't quite do it before, or you didn't have quite the, you know, like you would have to see something come into play before deciding what your intuition pile was going to be. Like this is just a self-contained, like just getting that extra card is enough for you to be a self-contained combo. So, yeah, this is great. This is really great for decks like Glarb, who we talked about. Like you and I talked about it a little bit, just like, or you brought it up. Glarb wants Gifts Ungiven, right? And then, so Gifts Ungiven, great, right? Great addition to CDH. We love it. It's like you can say all the nice things in the world about it. Also, it's an instant. So, hey, end step casting is probably or more than likely to happen since we're in the mid-range madness where everything is sit and wait, sit and wait, sit and wait. Gifts Ungiven just helps sort of like lean into that strategy, sit and wait until the right moment. This will be something that I imagine people will be countering or trying to counter as soon as it goes onto the stack. So I'm excited to see it cast for the first time. It'll be, yeah, a long time coming. It's been a minute. So moving down the list, Sway of Stars. We have Sway of Stars, which is 8 and 2 blue, a 10 mana sorcery. It says each player shuffles his or her hand, graveyard, and permanents they own until their library, then draws 7 cards. Each player's life total becomes 7. So the reason for unbanning Sway of Stars, they have an explanation for all this, but basically it goes on to say that Worldfire was also unbanned, and it barely made a register on the radar. Like, nobody really picked it up. It spiked, sure, in price, but it wasn't anything that truly warped the format. And I agree with this, too. For 10 mana, without any protections for it, it's not like it says it can't be countered. I don't know. It's one of those cards. Hey, it's back. It's back, baby. We'll see what happens. I know that there's someone in my original playgroup who has been begging for the return of Braid's Cabal Minion. But it's back. Braid's Cabal Minion is back. 2 and 2 black, a 2/2 human minion, reprinted most recently in Modern Horizons 2. It says at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices an artifact, creature, or land. So what was once a feel bad card that could come out on turn 1 or turn 2 in a more casual format, this Braid's has finally returned. That the CFP, the Commander Format Panel, has decided that this is, well, the reasoning for it is it dies to removal. It dies to removal. So the card is beloved as a character, nostalgic for so many. When played as one of your 99 cards later in the game, it's totally reasonable, has a reasonable effect with an appropriate impact on the game. The most frustrating Braid's games are one that comes out quickly and you're locked under it, which I agree. Like, but again, play CEDH, so I'm not upset when something like that happens. I've been.
Yeah, I think in a CEDH game, you see Braid's as a commander. You know what you have to mulligan to deal with it if it's not in your opening hand. Like,
you just know what to do against it. Like, opt for.
I mean, kind of, and I feel like we've gotten into it a little bit. It seems like in the unban announcement, like, they're looking at this like, hey, the format has evolved a little bit where everyone has the skill set to know how to manage certain types of problems. And this is a problem that can be managed by players of many skill levels.
Yeah, I think the first trigger, sort of like, if you don't understand it, the first trigger helps you understand it. Yeah, it's, and there's a part where you just don't interact with it as well. Like, it's all part of the strategy, it's all part of the game, but like, this comes down and it disproportionately affects, like, your opponent plays this, right? But it disproportionately affects your opponents versus you, and you just let it live. You just let it live and you let it keep making its rounds. And then they can't remove it, and you can keep playing lands. Yeah, play a land, sack a land. Play a land, sack a land. This could even be played in Korvold as like a way to draw cards. So, like, I do think that in the right deck, it provides a lot of inherent value just by like allowing you to sacrifice something at the beginning of your upkeep. Like, you know, are you playing Aristocrats? Awesome. This is great. This hurts everybody and then comes around and it helps you. So there.
Yeah, for sure. Doom Foretold is a card that I like. And Braid's, I think, has very similar, you know, Braid's is the original version of that play pattern.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree. It's cool. It's really cool that it's coming back. Coalition Victory is also back. We know that a certain 5-color Child of Alara player who listens to this show really wanted this one to come back. But Coalition Victory is 3 in Wooburg, so 8 mana sorcery. You win the game if you control land of each basic type and creature of each color. So as long as you control mountain, forest, plains, swamp, and island, and control a creature of each color, which in a lot of 5-color commander games or 5-color decks, it reads, if you control your commander and you have one land of each type, you win the game.
It's a pretty safe unban. It's cost restrictive and the conditions are restrictive. And at that point, if you can do those things and you haven't won the game already, you might as well just win the game.
It's on this. It goes on the stack and you just kill the commander. Like it's like they're. Yeah. Like it says a single removal spell in response to your 5-color commander means you spent 8 mana to do nothing. I get it. It's been wanted like it's been wanted to come back into the format for a long time. People were like scratching their head when we have certain win conditions like Thassa's Oracle and Demonic Consultation, which is far, far easier to achieve than running into a Coalition Victory. So back in the day, maybe this was a problem. I wasn't playing back then. It's not a problem. It hasn't been a problem, maybe because it's banned, but and I don't see it being a problem as we move forward. The one thing that is to note about all these cards is that when a card is unbanned, they are immediately moving it to the game changers list. So
that's fair.
Yeah, in a way to like sort of keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I mean it's a very similar thinking to the restricted list, right? It's just like something that is not quite okay. You have to ban it and can't let people even play it, but it is OP enough that you're like, we have to keep an eye on this. And it is the cards most likely to be banned once again.
Yeah, like this didn't come off the ban list last time because they still justified it as like it was justified as being too powerful. So yeah, like welcoming things back into the format is not easy. I do think that it's easier to cut things out than it is to welcome things back in. So this is, yeah, a great way. The game changer list also changed quite a bit. We'll jump into that in a little or later on. All right. The last card on this ban list or on the unban list is Panoptic Mirror. This is an artifact for 5 colorless mana that says imprint X and tap it. You may remove an instant or sorcery card with converted mana cost X in your hand from the game. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may copy an imprinted instant or sorcery card and play the copy without paying its mana cost. Notably, this does, you know, like they do say, this is the reason that they banned it in the first place was one extra turn spells the end of the game. So, but that is... what, 5 plus whatever the cost of the spell is, it requires 2 cards, and it's one of those things where you don't even get to cast the card upon imprinting it. You have to wait for your upkeep to come back around. So there's quite a bit of telegraphing involved with making Panoptic Mirror really work. The one thing that I can see happening with Panoptic Mirror that might be a little overlooked is the stacking of imprinting. You can imprint lots and lots of cards on this. It's sort of like Arcane Bombardment, but it's selective. So Arcane Bombardment is 6 mana, 4/2 red enchantment that basically does the same thing, but it exiles a random instant or sorcery from your graveyard, and then you get to cast every card that's been exiled with it all in one go. So the one thing, yeah, I do think that this is a little bit more selective. It's fine. It doesn't really break the game. It's slow. Like if it's not an extra turn spell, you're getting one free spell every 4 turns. So really it's fine. If it's a piece of removal, cool. If it's a board wipe, and people are sad about getting their stuff removed, remove the Panoptic Mirror.
Yeah.
It's like,
easy peasy.
There's no protection. There's no protection on it. Or don't play a creature. Like, keep building your board state in other ways. So, Panoptic Mirror is one of those cards where I had always questioned. I was like, I get the extra turn thing, but man, this could come back and not really be an issue with how fast the game has gotten. The article goes on to continue speaking about things like Dockside Extortionist, Jeweled Lotus, and Mana Crypt, and they wanted to acknowledge it. They did talk about these cards, but they decided not to unban them at this time. Opinions were varied within the panel, and some believe that Commander is more fun without them. So, if you're hoping for them to come back as game changers, your hopes have been dashed. Now, you would hope that maybe the next ban and restriction announcement would hold some different news. But I'm here to dash your hopes again, because the article...
Well, in a year, you get another shot at these cards.
Exactly. So this is probably the one thing that I can critically harp on for a while, but we'll try to keep it short. The announcement says that Commander has been through a lot since last September. It's been a time with a change of hands, a new panel being formed, and lots of uncertainty around what will remain on the ban list. After this appraisal of the banned card list and changes, we'd like to take some time to just let things sit for everybody to exhale after waiting for on this announcement and have a bit more of a relaxed time in the Commander news world. They additionally want to give time for Commander bracket system to develop, which I agree with. They do need to allow that to develop more. And that sort of interrupts that by constantly moving cards in and out of the format. So we are committing no.
Now, is there an argument to be made, though, that the middle ground could be made between restricted announcements and yearly, and just split the difference at 6 months? Is that something that, like, in the future you might see happening?
Honestly, I just wish they'd stick to the... I wish they would stick to the quarterly. Like, it's... Like, the band announcement on Dockside, Jeweled Lotus, and Mana Crypt, and Nadu was kind of, like, out of the blue, right? And I think everyone can agree that the way that that should have been handled was with a bit of a preface for it, being like, hey, just so you guys know, we're making an announcement in 2 weeks' time. We have our eyes on these three, four cards that are disruptive in the format. We're taking this time to discuss, analyze, and really make a firm decision on whether or not they should be banned. Give us a notice. That's fine, right? We know that these quarterly announcements are happening. Like, we know that this announcement was coming down the pipe quite a ways. We know that the next announcement was scheduled to happen the next quarter, so quite a ways down. Plenty of time for us to prepare emotionally and be aware of certain cards that are breaking the format or not breaking the format, right? Like, so basically, they're saying we are committing no further changes to the ban list for the rest of the year to give us peace of mind and to allow them to develop the bracket system. I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I don't agree with this announcement. And this is something where it's better just to say nothing than it is to say this, where, like, this gives the casual community, which exists out there, it's the majority of Magic players in the world, peace of mind. It gives people peace of mind on, like, oh, I can breathe. My investments, they're safe. Get out of here with that. This is a sort of slap to CEDH, where the community is currently in a stage of outcry where things are not necessarily in the best state that they've ever been in. Like, we're in a mid-range madness, like, world, you know, like, the format is in disarray because every game goes to a draw. There's no way to push, like, there's no real way to incentivize pushing for wins when everyone can just wait until the last few minutes of the game and then build things up on the stack or, you know, and then push the game.
Last gifts ungiven.
Yeah, you know, like, last second gifts ungiven on the stack. Is that good? Whoop. Oh, okay. That triggers my wrist.
Did we mention that card is an instant and you can play it on your opponent's end step?
Exactly, right? So there's currently an issue within CDH that there's no disincent, like we're not disincentivizing pushing games to a draw, right? Players would rather go to a draw than lose a game, which makes sense, right? Because you still get a point for drawing, but there's no incentive. Like there's an incentive to win the game, sure, because you get more points. But if everyone's waiting till the last minute, everyone's going to push for a draw. Like, and it really sucks at the moment, like that the statistics are basically saying roughly almost half of games are going to draw, like to a draw instead of, you know, it's like where before it was like 10% of games when Dockside and Jeweled Lotus and
incentive to just get into a standoff, right?
Yeah, it's just, what are we doing? We're sitting around a table for 80 minutes just to like rack up a point. Like, and it doesn't make sense. So the fact that they're saying we are not making an announcement for the rest of the year is shitty. It really sucks for the CEDH community, and not just the CEDH community, the TEDH community, the tournament grinders, the people out there who are living through this nightmare, who are just like out here like, wow, we were really hoping that we would have representation on the panel, that we would have people out here batting for us, going to, you know, war for us and present our arguments. None of that. There's none of that happening in the Commander format panel. So this is rough to see, because I just say nothing. Just say nothing and say, hey, we'll see you next banned and restricted announcement. Like, and they've had no problem in the past with other formats saying there are no changes being made at this time. Boom. Done. Move on. You guys didn't even have to talk about that. If you talked at this meeting and you're like, yeah, we're not going to make any changes for the rest of the year. Cool. Next announcement. What are you going to say? Are we going to have to meet again? No, we decided that we're not going to meet for the rest of the year. So next meeting. Yep. No changes. Yep. No changes. Yep. No changes. All right. First quarter next year. We've reviewed all the things and we've heard you guys, you know, we've analyzed the data. These are the changes we're making. It's like, say you're managing a community of millions. I understand it's not easy, right? Like there are millions of players out there who are waiting on your every word and your every decision to decide if they're going to continue playing your game or not. I think they just potentially alienated a good part of the CDH community. There's a decent portion of people who are happy with the format, which we'll talk about next week. And there's also a pretty significant portion of the community that's unhappy with the way it's going. And now they just have to be content with their unhappiness for the next year. So that's ultimately why I think it's bad that they said something in the first place.
Well, like, to be fair, we do have to admit that Magic the Gathering is a great game for like malcontents. There's going to be some percentage of malcontents at any given time.
Yeah, absolutely. There always is. It, like, I think that is probably the best point to be made as well, is that I am one of those malcontents at the moment. But, you know, there have been times when I've been happy with the game, and it changes from week to week. Who knows? But the one, like, as we move forward, yes, there are new cards that are going to come out. Maybe new cards that'll bring new life and, maybe reinvigorate people's passions for the game and they'll find balance. But for the moment, until the next set release, until new cards hit the scene, if you haven't found your deck of choice or your comfort zone with your comfort zone with the way the format currently is, like you gotta wait a little longer, potentially a full year. So the other thing that is notable about not making an announcement is means that whatever Masters set they decide to print this year with all the reprints and stuff like that, you can comfortably purchase it knowing that none of those cards are going to get banned. Now, the argument to make changes to the format panel, I would make it here, but it would be a long, arduous argument. They're not going to change anything based on the opinion of a podcast with 517 YouTube subscribers. So get out there, like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. But it is noticeable, and it is almost like it is. I can't drum up the right word for it right now, but everybody on this Commander Format panel is a content creator. There, I said it. I do not want to be on the panel. I'm not making this argument to say that I should. I am a voice. I am the equivalent to Stephen A. Smith in Magic the Gathering. Like Stephen A.
Smith. Wow, I would love to be the Stephen A. Smith of Magic the Gathering.
It's like,
what a thing to be.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, you look at Stephen A. Smith's track record in the NBA. He played he averaged like 1.2 points per game in his career. By no means, there is no reason other than the sound of his voice, the way his voice sounds and how hyperbolic he can be, that he should be a talking head for the NBA. But that's it. That's the only reason. You know, it's like content creators don't necessarily deserve to be the people in charge of making decisions for a competitive format, like, or what is hoping to be a competitive format. It's like, we're supposed to have CEDH representation here, but I think if you were to read this list, you can say that there is one person, and that's Rebel, and Rebel's not even the official CEDH representative. It's like, take a look. Guess who is the CEDH representative? You can't pick them out. We need a stronger voice for CEDH on this list and on the panel. Someone who's going to go to bat for all the tournament grinders out there, whether it's someone who, you know, is like proven and is at the top of the list, like post results all the time, you know, someone who's like boots on the ground, right? Like, it's just at the current moment, every player on this list they're all a group of friends. They're all a group of friends in the content creator community. And they're making the decisions of one pod are making the decisions for all pods in the entire world. So that is my criticism of the format panel. These are all friends of Gavin Verhey. They are people that all get along and they're buddy pal and they laugh. They might have conversations about these things, but, you know, about like whether or not Biorhythm can come back to the format. But that's not necessarily, this is why Rule Zero is also important. Not necessarily important to CDH because they follow the limitations of the ban list. But like, if you feel like Biorhythm's a good card or is a healthy card for the format, play it. That's a Rule Zero conversation. Like, we had that conversation last week, why we think that it could come back. Or like Emrakul, why it could come back. Stuff like that. These are all decisions that they made based on their own personal insights into the Commander format. So moving on, the Commander or the bracket system that's in review, in development, has been updated. The changes that have been made is just rewording essentially some of the what the brackets mean 1 through 5, and then putting a slider on the bottom. So the further you go towards 5, the further you stray into meta game focused deck building, and then the further left you go, social focused deck building, which I think is an important thing to know. But even as you go up, nothing has changed with 4 and 5. No restrictions other than the ban list. 4 has been changed to say decks are turbocharged with the most powerful cards in the format. Everybody intends to win and is ready to play against anything. And CDH says decks are built to win in the competitive metagame. Players intend to use only the most powerful strategies. Not False. Not false at all. So I do still believe that these are great foundational pillars for I do think the brackets are a good system that we're still seeing develop, but we're on our way to a more perfect system. The game changers list has changed quite a bit, though. We have a bunch of new additions and some removal. They've decided to remove some of these cards. The additions onto the list are Teferi's Protection, Humility, Narset, Parter of Veils, Intuition, Consphinx, Necropotence, Orcish Bowmasters, Notion Thief, Deflecting SWAT, Gamble, Worldly Tutor, Crop Rotation, Seedborn Muse, Natural Order, Food Chain, finally, Aura Shards, Field of the Dead, and Mishra's Workshop. So then they go on to explain why they added each one of them to the list and blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. So stuff is super strong. Food Chain should have been on there originally. They didn't think about it, went over their heads, stuff like that. They also, cards not changed, things that were requested to be added to the Game Changer list but are not. There are a few commanders that people were just like, yeah, the Eminence commanders should automatically be Game Changers. Farewell, people thought was justified. But then this one's weird. Alms Collector. Alms Collector.
That is a card that I've considered and cut from many a white deck. I don't know how it's a game changer.
There is no way in my mind that this is a game changer. If an opponent would draw two or more cards, instead you and that player each draw a card. The instance in which someone draws multiple cards in a single trigger is so rare. It is so rare. Look at Rhystic Study, everybody.
Yeah, I feel like if you're saying Trouble in Pairs is not a game changer, Alms Collector is definitely not a game changer.
No, Alms Collector is a first cut from the list, and its effect is similar to what's that Smuggler's Share or whatever it is, this little dumb white enchantment.
Honestly, that is the correct tier. It is the Smuggler's Share's tier. Yeah. It's a trap. It's a card that reads like it has upside, but it doesn't.
It does not. It's funny they even brought it up. They're taking Trouble in Pairs off the list, and they're also taking Trinisphere off the list. So those two totally justified taking them off the list. Trouble in Pairs, I was like, oh, whoa. Wow, they put that as a game changer. So I think it's just a good card. Doesn't necessarily change the game. It's just a good card. But yeah, we have, I was wondering why Gamble and Deflecting SWAT were missing from the red category in the first place. I do think Kiki Jiki should also find its home there. But now we have, a little bit of a larger list than we previously had. But there's a certain point where the list can get too large, and then all of a sudden you're like, what's a game changer? Well, that's a game changer? And then your list and then your deck all of a sudden becomes no longer legal in threes and is now considered.
Yeah, I guess just to play devil's advocate, I think, the commander format has to serve many masters. It has to serve many different communities. Maybe there is some sort of reason that because you only play high power in CDH that some of these cards might have a place on the game changers list, and the game changers list is meant to police not police but help regulate these other tiers that you're not really playing and having the reps in to like see what cards are getting played and how it affects the game.
Yep.
And, as a CDH player, again, the Game Changers list is irrelevant except for being a watch list for cards that might eventually be banned. It's fine. Let the Game Changers be a mysterious and esoteric place to a
Yes.
player like you.
Yeah, it does. Right, because it doesn't has no real any hindrance on what I do or like the type of game that I like to play. I will say that some cards are being given the boogeyman treatment, like I think Orcish Bowmasters scales really well, like for the game and just in general.
I mean, it is a game changer.
It is, but it's
I think
yeah.
very significant card.
Right, but in a slower game where not many cards are being drawn, or like the game moves, little by little by little, right? Orcish Bowmasters does little to nothing. So that is my argument, is like that in a casual game, the Bowmasters comes down, it deals one damage. Hopefully that's just irrelevant, but it's like the reason that Bowmasters is powerful at the highest stage, right, is because there are loops that allow you to flicker it infinitely or whatever in combination with other game changers. So, I think the Bowmasters is a bit of a getting a bit of the boogeyman treatment at the moment with how powerful it is in Modern, with how powerful it is in CDH, that it is just being considered a game changer or not suited for tiers 1, 2, and 3 based on its ceiling, not necessarily its floor. So Mana Drain, Mystic Remora, Force of Will is currently on the list. We talked about, but they talked about removing it. Yeah, but Mana Drain and Mystic Remora are big ones that are not on the list. So Mystic Remora is another, I think it falls into the same category we just talked about. Like, this is a not on the game changer list, but it is very, very similar to Bowmasters, where it comes down and it has a low floor, but it has a high ceiling.
Yeah, if only Mystic had Works X, it would really be OP.
Yes. Yeah, I think that if you're gonna put game changers or have game changers be part of the conversation, Mystic Remora should also be on there for being a bit of a boogeyman. Because like when player if you see this at a casual table, right? Like players go, "Oh, someone's playing strong cards," and then you become the target. It's a politically like it warps the perspective of your deck just by simply playing it early or later in the game. All right, Defense of the Heart, Sol Ring. They couldn't possibly put Sol Ring as a game changer. That would be probably the most dramatic thing that would have happened in all of this announcement. So, yeah.
Every pre-con is automatically bumped up in a tier then, right?
Yeah, every
Even
pre-con.
though realistically, I mean, well, here's the thing. Sol Ring is its own conversation, right? It's a truly unique that from a design standpoint, everyone
Yep.
knows it's OP. An argument could be made for banning it, but it's also so ubiquitous, so commonplace, and in every pre-con, and so iconic to the Commander format that you carve out a special exception for it.
Yeah. That is right. Yeah, it's like if everyone has access to it, then it's not as special. Right? Like everyone has the potential to have a turn one Sol Ring. So it's not necessarily a game changer because it's just expected.
It's
Like
like
it's like
it's like the free space on a Monopoly board.
exactly. Yep. On every bingo card, you have a Sol Ring. So yeah, no, I don't think that this is something that even needs discussion. Like at this point, like there were pitchforks and torches a couple years ago, and people were wondering why they're not banning Sol Ring. And it's like, no, this is the...
No, I mean, Sol Ring is just the exception. It's like, Sol Ring is just so sweet, so adorable, so handsome. And if Sol Ring 2 got printed with the exact same text, you'd be calling HR.
Yep. Yeah, there would be riots in the street for Sol Ring 2, but not this. Not Sol Ring 1. Even if you made it...
Not our sweet, adorable baby Sol Ring. Never.
Never.
Could never do us any wrong.
Never, 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 never. You know, but the Mana Crypt. No.
Gross.
Gross.
Get out of here with that.
Bye-bye. Banned. All right. Any final thoughts, Flash, on this announcement?
I don't think so. Honestly, let's see if a year is too long.
Yeah. Like this, I mean, this is the whole thing. We're 3 days in. 3 days into the announcement. So, yeah, let the dust settle. Let's see what happens with it all. Does the format, like, become a healthier place? We don't know. We don't. Like, you can speculate. We can be... You know, we can be Stephen A. Smith and who's the person on the show with him? Colin. No, it's not Cowherd. Regardless, we're just, you know, we're here. We're speaking on it. It might sound a little hyperbolic at times because it is the immediate reaction of like, come on, you know, but it's, you know, this is what we are having to deal with. This is like one of the founding principles that I was raised on. I had a coach way back in the day. His name was Vince. And he told me after my first race where I sort of like I ran cross country and he told me after my first race, I was pretty upset with myself because I dogged it. Right. Like I went out like a bat out of hell and then I ran like 25 minutes in a 5K. And I finished the race. And he comes up to me and I'm not super tired. And he looks at me dead in the eye and says, you can't be mad about something that's already happened. And that just struck me like a truck. It was just like, yeah, take your next step forward. Like, don't look back on it. Like, acknowledge it happened, but do not be mad about it. Only understand what you can do moving forward. So that's really where we're at is can't be mad about it. You can be... You know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, running is a sport that serves many different purposes. For the majority of people, a 25-minute 5K, 3.1 miles, is great. It's like a 7.5-minute mile. Good for you. Right. If you're doing track, not great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
If you're doing competitive running, tournament running...
Everyone's got a different measure of success. And where they see it, where they want to be. This is the whole many masters thing, right? Just because this announcement doesn't serve me well in the moment, right? Doesn't mean that it's not going to serve others well down the line or in the moment as well. So like there, I'm sure there's a large part of the community that just took a big like sigh of relief knowing that nothing got banned or because it continues to make the game that they enjoy flourish. So, you know, like eyes forward, like this has happened. We understand it. This is how we move forward. And know that for the next year, you have to adjust and adapt. And if you're competitive, then find your gaps, find the way to succeed, right? Break the mold, push for wins. Do not sit and wait for the game clock to wind down. You have to find motivation. You have to find your way to take steps forward and don't be mad about this. Like the more that you sit and stew and like rage about this announcement or why they banned Dockside or why they banned Mana Crypt or whatever, like the longer you will sit in mid-range madness, the longer that you will suffer in this current environment. So
yeah, I mean, figure out what preys on end step flash enabled decks and is also just generally good, and all of a sudden you've got a deck that beats the format. Like you can break out of it with a little creative thinking.
Yes. Yeah. You got to be able to push for something early. You got to be able to push wins early, protected wins, all those things, incremental value. Sometimes you can just sneak up out of nowhere. That's why my two favorite decks at the moment are Helga and Shalayan Halar. Like the incremental value that I generate over, you know, between turns 1 through 4, like often results in me presenting win conditions that are protected and hard to interact with. So like there's merit in off meta decks with a little creative thinking. So get out there, flex those brain muscles, and start your path towards figuring out this meta. Start on your journey to improving that 5K time. Like, don't be mad. Keep taking steps forward. Like that man that, you know, some very few listeners will know who I'm talking about. My original play group will. But like that coach had a profound effect with one simple statement. So hopefully you're listening to this. That simple statement continues to impact your life or begins to impact your life. Yeah. That it's just sort of like formative in my development as a youth.
As a youth.
All right. Yeah. Other news. Dr. Pepper news.
Oh, have we mentioned Dr. Pepper at all this episode yet?
No, nor have we mentioned Don Cheadle. So there's another 10 minutes of this episode.
Oh, wow.
I hope you're ready to hold on. Hang on tight, because it's a rodeo about to happen. About to kick this Mustang into full gear. I got a package in the mail from my dad for Easter. And he said, he never says this, but he says, you have an amazing package in the mail. It's coming your way. It'll be there before.
Okay.
And I get it and I open it up and it's a pack of Dr. Pepper Jelly Bellies.
Nice.
And a whole thing, like 4 packages of Dr. Pepper Peeps.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah. And I got them in the mail. I opened up.
Now, is this your first time trying the Dr. Pepper Peep?
It is. I still have them in the package. I was going to try one.
Okay.
Later today. But I opened them up and I was just like, oh my God, the Dr. Pepper love has entered every aspect of my life. Even my dad knows how much I love Dr. Pepper and then he texts.
The brand is strong.
He texts me, did the package arrive? And I was like, yeah, I love it. It's great. Thank you so much. He goes, hopefully you can use it on the podcast. I
was like, oh my God. Shout out to Evan's dad.
Yeah.
Podcast listener.
Steve, the mustache kunai. Yeah. He's a good dad. that's the Dr. Pepper news this week. I've got plenty of things to try. The Dr. Pepper Jelly Bellies will be getting a review on next week's episode. And then Don Cheadle news. Well, no major motion pictures in development with Don Cheadle that I'm currently aware of.
That can't be true. That man is in 6 movies a year.
All right. I'll cycle back next week with my findings for Don Cheadle. This has been the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle. If you'd like to support the show, you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell on YouTube. Help us build that subscriber base. 517 at the moment. We're growing. Always growing. Always taking steps forward. You can also give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. 5-star review makes us look super duper cool. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Become an official Pepperhead. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the $5 tier, the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, like Maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. Get one free entry in each of our biweekly giveaways. And
hey, sorry, not to interrupt. I got to ask, what color does Mono Greg play? If Mono Greg only plays one color, what do you think?
I'm going to, just because I, it's got to be green, right?
Or black, speaking of raids and Kirik.
I think, do you think, like, I just based off the sound of his name, when I say it, Mono Greg.
Mono green, yeah. And listen, we hope, for your sake, for everyone's sake, that Mono Greg is not a mono blue player.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's why I was trying to think through my brain. It's like, what, I really want to like Mono Greg.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think,
listen, Mono Greg, we're on your side.
Absolutely, honestly. On your side. Now,
and if you're playing mono blue, we want to help you.
We're here to help.
We want to help you get better.
Absolutely. I'm glad we got on that tangent. It's actually been bothering me for some time. I've just been curious. So, Mono Greg, mm-hmm. If you're listening to this episode, leave a comment down below on the YouTube channel. Let us know what mono color decks you're building or that you prefer. You can also support us at the $10 tier, the 2-liter tier. Get 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, and then join the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge like Ravenlift. Get 3 entries and access to that nice installation of beachfront in the lounge with the Dyson bladeless fan. All right. Thank you guys so much. One, thank you so much for checking out the show, listening to this week's episode. I really do appreciate it. But we're getting out of here. We're out of here. Yeah. I think we're out of here. Walking out.
We're going to go check it. We're going to go hang out at the beach.
Yep. Yep. I'm taking steps. Click, 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 click. Bye. See you later. All right.
Can I say something? Can I say one last thing?
Absolutely. Sorry. Go ahead.
If you're ever walking on the beach and you see 2 sets of footprints, and then during the hardest times in your life, you look back and you see only 1 set of footprints, that's because Dr. Pepper was carrying you.
I like that. Poetry. This has been the Mockstars Podcast. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.
If you made it this far in the episode, you know what it is. It's this week's bi-weekly giveaway. And this week we're giving away something special. It is one of the original Magic the Gathering novels. It is Outlaw from Champions of Kamigawa, book 1 in the Kamigawa cycle. When I was working in Alaska doing seasonal work, I went to a secondhand bookstore, walking through, just kind of looking for anything to pass the time as I sat in my cabin in the backcountry of Alaska, and I saw these books sitting on the shelf, and at the time they were $3.50 a piece. So I picked them up. I was like, oh, these are cool. I'm a big Magic player. I like Magic quite a bit. So I've got the first book, Outlaw, and I think I have the last book, but the middle book is the one I'm missing. But anyway, I went to look to buy the middle book, and these things have appreciated quite a bit in time. So it is a special little doodad. They're hard to find these days, and so I figured I'd share these wonderful stories with someone from the giveaway. So let's go ahead and cycle it up. Randomize 1, 2, and 3 times. Spin the wheel. And let's see who wins this week's bi-weekly giveaway. Ooh! It's Maybe Anthony! Congratulations, Maybe Anthony. I'll be in touch, and I'll make sure to get this out to you as soon as possible. This is really a great read. Now, here's the deal. You're going to have to go out, and you're going to have to either download the second book on digitally or buy it.
so you can start building your collection. But it really does leave you on a really great cliffhanger, seeing as it is the story of Toshiro Umezawa. So it's really a really great read. So congratulations, maybe, Anthony. And thank you all for participating. Thank you all for supporting the show. If you're wondering, you're listening to this and you're wondering how to sign up or get involved with these bi-weekly giveaways, you can do so by signing up for our Patreon, by being a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, or any tier above that, you gain entry to the giveaways, additional entries as you go up the ladder. Thank you all so much for listening and supporting the show. We'll catch you next time. This has been the Mock Stars Podcast. Peace.